This is True News, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. World War III went to another level of danger today when a Ukrainian drone was used in an attempted assassination of Russian President Vladimir Putin. High-level Russian leaders are calling for the use of nuclear weapons to retaliate against Ukraine. Let's start with a Reuters article about the early morning drone attack on the Kremlin.
So Reuters is reporting that Russia accused Ukraine on Wednesday of attacking the Kremlin with drones overnight in an attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin, the most serious allegation that Moscow has leveled at Kiev in more than 14 months of war. President Volodymyr Zelensky promptly denied any Ukrainian involvement, telling a press conference in Helsinki, "We don't attack Putin or Moscow, we fight on our territory." A senior Ukrainian presidential official said the incident instead suggested Moscow was preparing a major terrorist provocation. In other words, basically Russia did it to themselves.
Yeah, like they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline.
Right.
So that's appearing a lot in Western news outlets today, Doc, that this possibly could be a Russian false flag.
Right.
I don't think so. I think probably what we saw today, Doc, is the opening shot of the counteroffensive.
Right.
And they've been telling us it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, any day it's coming. Well, there was an attack today on the Kremlin. I'm going to read that as the opening shot of their counteroffensive.
And this isn't the first attempt to use a drone to strike at the Kremlin. We had the story last week of one
to kill Putin at a factory.
Industrial park, yes.
Right.
And so, now, if you haven't seen the video yet, we have several different angles of it. This is the first one here. If you look for it in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, you'll see the device, the drone, as it strikes one of the towers there in the Kremlin. And you'll see another one here in just a moment. And obviously, people heard the drone, and they started taking video of it. And you'll see another one here. You'll see explosion right now. And then this is a shorter one far left on the screen there. Obviously, there was some sort of attempt to be able to strike at the Kremlin. Here it is again. And once again, you'll see it coming in from the upper left-hand side. A significant explosion. And so
Ukrainians are
denying it, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah, Russia would do that to themselves, wouldn't they?
Well, the Ukrainians denied that they hit the Crimean Bridge.
Right.
And then they boasted about it. They did both. They issued an official denial. And then at the same time, they had various social media postings boasting that they hit the bridge.
Right.
What's coming up in the next week is the May 9 Victory Day parade in Moscow,
right
there in front of the Red Square. And so it is their celebration of the defeat of the Nazis in World War II. It gets a massive crowd. Of course, you know, the Russian, it's a military parade.
Right.
So Russian soldiers, officers, equipment, trucks, tanks are all in the parade, and the Russian leadership. We have mentioned on this program since last year that there could be a major attack on Moscow on the week of May 9 of 2023. And the reason, not that we have a crystal ball and we predicted it, because a retired French military general
said exactly
suggested
that.
It and said that would be a good thing to do. Send a missile to Moscow on May 9 when they have the parade. And so was this the opening shot? Was this the warning? Now, the Kremlin said the parade is still on and Putin will be in the reviewing stand. So they have no intention of canceling the parade. I want to take a look at... Well, let's put up number five. This is a BBC. Kremlin drone, Zelensky denies Ukraine attacked Putin or Moscow. And so, you know, they put out an official statement. BBC reported that Ukraine's President Zelensky has denied his country carried out an alleged drone attack on the Kremlin, which Russia says was an attempt on President Vladimir Putin's life. And this is from the BBC. They quoted Zelensky as saying, quote, "We don't attack Putin or Moscow. We fight on our territory. We are defending our villages and cities," end of quote. He made this statement during a visit to Finland.
And the reason why he was in Finland was to welcome them into NATO and then make the pitch for Ukraine to be admitted into NATO immediately after Sweden is admitted.
So you have this official denial that Ukraine carried out an attempted assassination. But just a few minutes ago, one of our team members showed us something that appeared on the internet today. And I don't even know if it's legit. I don't know if it's real. So we're going to show you the postage stamp. Now, so this has been, this has hit social media today. And it is supposedly a Ukrainian Postal Service stamp that was issued today. Doc, is this legit or is this fake news?
It is coming from the Kiev Post. The Kiev Post has been really the voice of pro-Ukrainian support for the entire war here.
Yeah, Kiev Post is it's a Ukrainian news site.
Right. And not just a Ukrainian news site. It, you know, it gets endorsements from very pro-war organizations and it has contributing, you know, editors from all sorts of organizations, including NATO.
Mm-hmm.
So are they trolling at you or has the Ukrainian Postal Service actually issued the stamp? Either way, they're celebrating the attack. Either way.
Just like they celebrated the attack on the Crimean Bridge. So I'm going to assume that the postage stamp is real and that the Ukrainian Postal Service really did issue it today. How fast did they have to go into action and get a stamp done in one day?
Well, if it happened last night, then they've been working all day on it to get it out today.
Or did they have it ready before?
That's the other option, too.
Before the attack. So. We will never know. Next story I want you to see is from the Times of London. Russia accuses Ukraine of attack on President Putin, but there's some statements inside this article that we want to bring to your attention.
Right. So Russia claimed that it's thwarted an attempt by Ukraine to kill President Putin in the Kremlin, raising fears of a significant escalation in the war. It said two drones have been used in a planned terrorist attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin, but that they had been brought down by Russian air defenses. Hardliners in Moscow urged retaliatory strikes on Kiev. Now keep that in mind.
That was the two drones. What's the two drones? It said two drones had been used in a planned terrorist attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin.
Right. We had only seen one drone from various angles. But
and you're saying that they were brought down by the Russian air defenses.
Right.
Well, one hit the Kremlin.
But apparently they had been struck before it hit the Kremlin. It missed its target, basically. Mm-hmm. And so, well, President Putin was not present at the time of the attack and was instead in his Novo-Ogryovo residence near Moscow, the Kremlin said. Fragments of the destroyed drones fell inside the Kremlin, but there was no significant damage to the complex, it added. Now, an unverified video showed a small blast above the Kremlin Senate building overlooking Red Square and white smoke as an apparent drone was destroyed just before it crashed into a cupola. Another video showed smoke rising from inside the Kremlin walls. Now, these are the quotes from the article. The Kremlin has assessed these actions as a planned terrorist act and an assassination attempt on the president on the eve of Victory Day, the May 9th parade, Rina Vosti, the Russian state news agency, said. Mr. Putin is expected to oversee that event. So it goes on to say a spokesman for the Kremlin said the Russian side reserves the right to take retaliatory measures where and when it sees fit. Russians don't do anything fast, and they don't react quickly. But when they do, they act with force. And so they don't have to react, if that was the idea, to try to get them to jump into and do something here. So,
well, Doc, there's a lot of demands in Russia today for retaliation. I don't know if they're going to hold off on this very long. This is RT. Russia warns of retaliation for Ukrainian attack on the Kremlin.
And it also repeats what the Kremlin said, that Russia reserves the right to retaliate anywhere and anytime it deems necessary in response to the drone attack on President Putin's residence. It goes on to say in Rio Novosti here that former President Mr. Medvedev has called for the physical elimination of Vladimir Zelensky in response to this drone attack as well.
Okay, that's how I found out. I didn't even know about the drone attack this morning. I had not looked at news, and then I received Mr. Medvedev's telegram post, and so I opened my phone and hit translate on it, and when I saw, he said, in response to today's terrorist attack, and I thought, oh boy, something serious has happened in Russia today. And then as I read, I said, oh my gosh, Medvedev today just called for the killing of Zelensky.
Everybody else has been calling for the assassination and murder of Vladimir Putin.
Yes, so today the Russians started calling for the murder of Zelensky. And so the race is on to see who dies first.
So this is his post on Telegram. After today's terrorist attack, there are no options left except for the physical elimination of Zelensky and his cabal. He is not even needed to sign the act of unconditional surrender. Hitler, as you know, did not sign it either. There will always be some kind of replacement, like the Vice President Admiral Dönitz. Dönitz was the Supreme Commander of the German Navy, but he was next in line after Hitler committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And so he served for a brief time as head of state. He's the one that offered the unconditional surrender to Allied forces after, mm-hmm. As the hostilities ended toward the end of the war.
Because they had to have a signature on a document to make it,
right,
to make the surrender legitimate. So somebody had to sign.
So that's who Medvedev is referencing there. He said, hey, if we take out Zelensky, the next guy can sign the unconditional surrender, whoever that guy is going to be.
But he did call for he didn't suggest something bad should happen to Zelensky. He said, there are no options left except for the physical elimination of Zelensky and his cabal.
So the whole team is going out.
Yes. Well, how far does that cabal go? Does that include Anthony Blinken, Joe Biden? How far does he consider the reach of the cabal? We don't know. But what we do know is that Medvedev said today, they're all going to die. He didn't say they're going to have a bad day. They might have an accident.
That should be physically eliminated, he said.
Must. There's no other option, he said. They must be eliminated. Something changed today. They crossed the line today.
They hit the Kremlin.
Trying to kill Putin. And now the Russians are saying, we're going to kill them. We're going to take them out, all of them. And so I'm trying to get everyone to understand, something changed today. Tomorrow's not going to be like it was yesterday. We've entered a new phase of this war. RT reporting, top Russian member of parliament calls for the use of weapons capable of destroying the Kiev regime.
So RT is reporting that senior Russian lawmaker Mr. Volodin, has called on Moscow to use any weapons necessary to remove the Nazi regime. The comments followed a failed Ukrainian drone attack on the Kremlin that allegedly targeted President Vladimir Putin in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Mr. Volodin, the State Duma chairman, said a terrorist attack against the president is an attack on Russia. The Kiev Nazi regime must be recognized as a terrorist organization. Mr. Zelensky, giving orders to carry out terrorist attacks, stood on a par with other international terrorists. The Kiev regime today is no less dangerous than Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, ISIS, which are all banned in the Russian Federation. He said its criminal methods are obvious to the entire world community. Nuclear blackmail, assassinations of political and public figures, sabotage and undermining of civilian facilities. Now there's an attempt on the life of the president of our country. The Kiev terrorist regime, having seized an entire state, threatens the security of Russia, Europe, and the whole world. And he goes on to say, politicians in Western countries who are pumping weapons to the Zelensky regime must realize that they have become not only sponsors, but also direct accomplices of terrorist activities. There can be no negotiations with the Zelensky regime. We will demand the use of weapons capable of stopping and destroying the Kiev terrorist regime.
Doctor, you remember several months ago, Mr. Medvedev told Senator Lindsey Graham something like, be careful on airplanes.
I remember that.
I don't remember the exact tweet, but I know what it meant. Hey, Senator Graham, your airplane could blow up.
Accidents happen. So, that was in response to several comments, several times, that Lindsey Graham has called for the direct assassination of Vladimir Putin. Now, this is from March of last year. This was, you know, just as hostilities were ramping up in Ukraine.
The war had started, February 28th?
Yeah, just a week before.
February 27th, 28th.
So Lindsey Graham started calling for Russians to assassinate Putin. We actually have Senator Graham from back in last March. He was on the Sean Hannity program, basically calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin.
And so, yes, I want the Russian people to take this man out. I don't care if we put him in jail in The Hague or somebody kills him. He needs to go. He's a war criminal. And Senator Schumer called me about an hour ago. I have a resolution that supports the war crimes investigation against Putin in The Hague. He is now on it. I believe I got 90 votes plus in the United States Senate to support an investigation.
How many senators privately?
In that same week, Sean Hannity, now the current golden boy at Fox News, is, he basically agreed with that, saying we need to cut off the head of the snake. He was referring to Vladimir Putin.
And they need humanitarian and medical aid. And while we're at it, Vladimir Putin, he needs to go. He's a murdering thug with nuclear weapons, committing atrocities in Ukraine, invading a sovereign, innocent country. We see all the images. He is killing children, he is killing women, and he's killing men. And he's trying to take over that country. And now Putin has deployed 400 mercenaries in Ukraine to hunt down, to assassinate President Zelensky. Now, Putin, I've been saying it all week, it's interesting the media finally picked it up. Putin has got to be stopped by whatever means necessary, one way or another. It's a simple rule in life. If you invade an innocent country and you kill women and children and men, you forfeit your right to lead a country and you forfeit your right to live. And I hope that people around Vladimir Putin, I hope they take action sooner than later. Now, currently, the U.S. operates under a decades-old executive order, first signed by President Gerald Ford. It prohibits the U.S. government employees from engaging in political assassination. But my final question tonight is, when it comes to Putin, is it time to now revisit the rule? My rule I like better. New rule, you invade a sovereign country, you kill innocent men, women, and children, you forfeit your right to run a country and you forfeit your right to live. It's that simple. Cut off the head of the snake dies.
I hope Sean Hannity has the very best bodyguards. and security teams around him. Because I think these guys talking, who talk like Hannity, I think that they could, in the very near future, disappear. And I'm very serious, Doc. You know, I was warning a year ago, Sean Hannity and Lindsey Graham, they should zip their lips and stop talking about killing Vladimir Putin.
Well, Lindsey Graham has been talking about killing Vladimir Putin.
All year long.
All year long. We have another clip. This is Lindsey Graham. This is from back in December. This is the clip that Mr. Medvedev responded to about be careful about airplanes. So let's watch this.
Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. How did this war end? When Russia breaks and they take Putin out, anything short of that, the war is going to continue. To ask the Ukrainians to give Russia part of their country after all this death and destruction is not going to happen. To signal a ceasefire, Russia will take the opportunity to rearm and come at them again. So we're in it to win it. And the only way you're going to win it is to break the Russian military and have somebody in Russia take Putin out to give the Russian people a new lease on life.
These guys are really foolish men. Very foolish men.
I mean, imagine if there was a member of the Russian State Duma that was calling for the assassination of President Biden.
What would the CIA do?
They would
visit them.
Yes.
In the night. Most people still have not grasped the reality that we're in World War III. Maybe the sudden death of Sean Hannity and Lindsey Graham, that might convince more people that the war really is on. But if you go around calling for the assassination of a world leader, you shouldn't be surprised if you wake up one morning dead. What do you do with fools? This next one, you can't make this stuff up. Folks, you can't make it up. And this is not a fake headline. Zelensky called for Ukraine to be made the 33rd member of NATO.
The topics just write themselves, don't they, Rick?
Is this the 33rd degree? How obvious can they make it that this is a Masonic operation? This is so in your face, New World Order, Illuminati stuff. Doc, I can't imagine saying, hey Doc, let's do a spoof headline. Let's just throw in a ringer for today.
See if people catch it or not.
And we'll just say that Ukraine will be the 33rd member of NATO.
And put it out there and see if people latch on to it.
So that's why they had to get
Finland and Sweden.
That's why they had to get Finland and Sweden in as 31 and 32,
right,
so that Ukraine could be the 33rd and hit that magic Masonic number.
Well, President Zelensky was in Finland today, supposedly to celebrate the entrance into NATO, but he also made, of course, the big push for Ukraine to join NATO too. He said, I sincerely congratulate the people of Finland on joining the alliance. I sincerely hope that Sweden will complete the accession process as soon as possible. Together with you, NATO will consist of 32 member countries. Ukraine can and should become the 33rd NATO member, he said at a press conference in Helsinki. But there are no obstacles to the political decision on our entry into NATO. Let's not forget that NATO will soon have 33 countries, the Ukrainian leader said.
And so World War III is built on number 33. Doc, the Illuminati has this fascination with numerology.
Because they believe there's power in numbers. I mean,
and that takes you to
base.
Kabbalah.
Right.
Because Kabbalah is numerology. And so you see these guys that are practicing Kabbalah witchcraft,
right,
and orchestrating world events around their numbers.
And so the roots, of course, are in Masonry. Actually, you know, making, putting bricks together.
Yes.
But it evolved beyond that because they saw relationships between numbers in triangles and squares and all these things. And so it was like numbers became the language of the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
because it all fits together so perfectly. And that has carried over today to modern Freemasonry with this fascination with really the magical power of numbers.
Yes.
They see it everywhere. And they guide their lives by it. Mm-hmm. They guide their doctrines by it.
So they give you clues when they say certain numbers and they tell you things.
Because what they're doing is they're signaling to other members, you need to see this.
Yes.
This is an endorsement that mm-hmm. we're sending out. But, you know, those who are spiritual discern these things. Those who are hidden in Christ, you can discern these things, this wickedness that goes on. It's all witchcraft at its roots, and that is antithetical to Christ.
That's right. Now, Doc, this next story, New York Times, it's actually from April 28. I missed it. Just saw it first time today. U.S. wires Ukraine with radiation sensors to detect nuclear blasts.
So they're expecting something.
The U.S. government secretly put up sensors in Ukraine.
Right.
It's already done.
So the New York Times is reporting that the U.S. is wiring Ukraine with sensors that can detect bursts of radiation from a nuclear weapon or a dirty bomb. And listen to this, and can confirm the identity of the attacker. In part, the goal is to make sure that if Russia detonates a radioactive weapon on Ukrainian soil, its atomic signature and Moscow's culpability could be verified. The Nuclear Emergency Support Team, or NEST, a shadowy unit of atomic experts run by the security agency, is working with Ukraine to deploy the radiation sensors, train personnel, monitor data, and warn of deadly radiation. In a statement sent to the New York Times in response to a reporter's question, the agency said the network of atomic sensors was being deployed throughout the region and would have the ability to characterize the size, location, and effects of any nuclear explosion. Additionally, it said the deployed sensors would deny Russia any opportunity to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine without attribution.
Okay, well, right there.
That's right.
Okay, there we go. They're expecting. So what did they do? They got the sensors in, and then they sent the drones to attack the Kremlin, knowing that the Kremlin is going to respond with a nuclear attack. Doc, all-out nuclear war could be days away.
Yes.
I'm out of words. I don't know what to say to people anymore. Look at this next one. Novosti, Russian missile warning satellite burned up in the atmosphere. Did you read this one?
Yes, I did.
Did you find it odd?
I mean, the timing was certainly coincidental, and I don't believe in coincidence. The Russians are basically saying this was a planned event, but you know, the timing is really strange for this particular thing to be happening right now. This was an early warning system for Russian missile attacks on Russia.
Yeah, so this was a satellite that would alert the Russian military that American or NATO nuclear missiles were headed towards Russia.
Right.
And the satellite fell out of space today and burned up. Just, again, coincidence, or did it get some help?
Well,
was it pushed out of space?
Well, we'll have some more news after we take this brief break and message from our sponsor.
Are you concerned about this economic storm and how your IRA and 401k will fare during these turbulent times? Top experts are predicting now is the time to be protecting your assets with physical gold and silver. Find out why Genesis Gold Group is the number one recommended company by your favorite preppers and homestead channels. Receive Genesis Gold Group's free definitive gold guide today or give them a call at 800-200-GOLD.
Welcome back for the second part of True News. We're obviously in our World War III mode here today. London Times, Doc, reporting that Russia, this is what the Times is saying, that Russia has mined European undersea pipelines and cables, according to NATO.
Okay.
Now, this one I might buy into.
Well, if that's the case, then NATO's not doing their job, right?
Well, no, that would be true.
Because I got to thinking about that. So I was reading the article today, and the more I read it, the more I thought, wait a minute. If the Russians are able to plant explosive devices on pipelines...
Then what were you guys doing?
And you guys
were tracking the Chinese balloon.
Sure they were.
They were so focused on the Chinese balloon, they didn't see the Russians. So are we going to see... Are we going to see more things blow up undersea? And then we're told that Russia did it?
Well, and that's what I got thinking as we read more on it here. So the Times of London is reporting that NATO suspects that Russia has planted explosives on critical European undersea infrastructure based on intelligence from the companies that run oil and gas rigs, pipelines, electricity connectors, and telecom cables. In mid-February, the alliance set up a critical undersea infrastructure coordination cell led by Lieutenant General Hans Werner Wehrmann, a retired German military officer. The unit will report to a summit of NATO leaders in July and is building on building an intelligence picture of the critical infrastructure. The question is, why is there this Russian focus on undersea offshore infrastructure? The answer is obvious, said a NATO official involved in the work. He said, if Russia attacks one of our power plants on land, that is war. If the Russians can sabotage one of our undersea pipelines or cables, then look at Nord Stream. We still do not know who did that. They can attack deniably.
We don't know.
You just don't know. But I go back to the question. If you know the Russians have planted explosives.
Then why didn't you stop them?
Yes. And why aren't you getting rid of the explosives? You know, Rick, you've looked at undersea cables and pipelines. I didn't realize the vast network of cables.
Well, I've looked at maps of them. I've never been undersea to look at them.
Right.
I've looked at maps.
But you also know that all these companies that are involved in pipelines and undersea cables, they're monitoring these cables and pipelines mm-hmm. constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, Larry, drop the cable, drop the pipeline, the water, we'll check on it a couple of years from now. No, they're constantly monitoring the flow mm-hmm. and the pressure in these lines and their capability. I'm just not buying the story, Rick.
No, but some of these cables are blowing up and communications shut down mm-hmm. worldwide. There would be a crisis in the world, and there would be a demand for action.
That's right.
But I think they're going to get their action a lot sooner than they expect it. I just don't think the Russians are going to hold back much longer. The U.S. is we've got a rush order in today to get more military equipment to Ukraine as fast as we can get it. $300 million. Worth of military equipment. This was reported today by Stars and Stripes.
Right. The U.S. is sending about $300 million in military aid to Ukraine, ranging from howitzers to air-to-ground rockets to small arms ammunition, the Pentagon announced on Wednesday. The latest aid includes Hydra 70 rockets, which are unguided and launched from aircraft. Others include an undisclosed number of rockets for the high-mobility artillery rocket systems. Howitzers, mortars, missiles, and Carl Gustav anti-tank rifles. The aid also includes trucks, trailers, and other spare parts. The equipment and weapons are being given through the Presidential Drawdown Authority, which means it will come directly from Pentagon stocks and sent quickly on an emergency basis. And given this way, it typically means it reaches Ukraine in a matter of weeks.
Hey, that's the really important thing to see. The Pentagon was given authority by President Biden to clean out existing stock of U.S. military hardware in warehouses and ship it. This isn't like, hey, we're going to tell a defense contractor to build these things for Ukraine. They're taking U.S. military weapons in stock right now and rushing. This is a rush order. They have to be there when?
Within weeks.
Within weeks. What is that telling us?
That there's a
timeline. The big war is now.
Right.
The big war is now, the spring. So it looks like the counteroffensive operation is underway. I think today was the opening shot.
Right. You know, our war industry here in the U.S., things just don't get created overnight. I was looking at a documentary on how howitzers are produced, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
It has a life cycle of 2 years of production. So we can't, even if we said today, we're going to start building howitzers for Ukraine, it would be 2 years before those are actually on the field.
But if we give away all the ones that we have right now, it'll be 2 years till we have some for ourselves.
That's what we need to think about. Suddenly, now we are caught short, just like Europe has been. Mm-hmm. Europe has been drawing directly from their current military stock to help Ukraine.
So somebody's weakening the United States and Russia, and China comes out on top. U.S. and Russia are both being weakened.
Yes.
China comes out on top. Does China have anybody in American politics that would be taking care of China's interests?
Maybe.
The Bidens?
Yes.
The family that gets millions of dollars in bank wires? But if you are $500 overseas, Western Union wants to know everything about it. But China, the Communist Party, can wire millions of dollars to the Bidens,
yes.
And the FBI doesn't want to know about it. I should just change my name to Biden. Then you could wire money all day long. This next one, The Sun in London, Kingdom of Dust. Putin could be killed, and Russia may break up into nuke-armed mini-states, says ex-CIA analysts. They're telling us the plan.
Yes, and we've talked about the balkanization of Russia in the past.
And it's exactly what Putin has said they plan to do to Russia.
So The Sun's reporting that Russia will collapse into a potentially nuclear-armed warring mini-states as a result of Vladimir Putin's disastrous invasion of Ukraine, a former CIA analyst has grimly predicted. We'll show you here what they have in mind here and what the experts are predicting, how Russia would be broken up. NATO would love nothing more than for this to happen.
32 separate countries.
That's right. I mean, they could add all sorts of new members to NATO, couldn't they? You don't realize how diverse a country Russia is. It has 13 time zones from, across the entire country. It's huge. And each of these regions kind of have its own identity and culture about them. So the fact that Russia has maintained an alliance of all these different cultures and these different regions over, what is it now, 1,000 years?
I think 1,200.
But NATO would love nothing better than for this to be the new map of Russia. Paul Goebel is a longstanding expert on Russia and previously the Soviet Union, who has worked as an analyst for the CIA and also the State Department. He says people are now much more open to the possibility that the Russian Federation might not be able to remain in one piece, speaking to The Sun. What we're likely to see is something different than the coming apart of the great empires. He says, I think it's going to be kaleidoscopic. It'll be chaotic. What you see 1 year won't be the same after 2 years. He predicted the world is facing a Yugoslavia with nukes in reference to the bloody breakup of the former Balkan state, also perpetrated by NATO, by the way. The war in Ukraine has compromised the ability of Putin to effectively run the country again, he went on. He has called into question the ability of a state centered in Moscow to rule anything like the territory it currently does. We're talking about the death of the Russian state and chaos after that state dies as the various component parts form and seek to sort things out. He says he agrees that Russia will begin to break up into fiefdoms controlled by local warlords as the state's authority collapses. Once again, this is Paul Goebel saying this. I think that's going to be a part of what happens. We're going to see some places where they are local strongmen, business types. They might be military officers. They may be people who are part of an ethnic or cultural tradition. Russia is an incredibly complicated and diverse place, and I would expect its approaching demise to be incredibly complicated and diverse too. He explained that no one knows how many countries will be there. The numbers range from 1 to well over 100. And says no one knows what the borders will be. No one knows what the political relationships will be. No one knows who will form those political elites as we move into that. And like I said, this is their dream. This is the NATO dream, for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can break Russia up and they're dealing with individual countries, that they can conquer little
That's
countries.
Right. That's right.
They can't conquer a big country, but they can conquer little bitty countries.
And really, Doc, this is the essence of what Vladimir Putin has been warning about for about 15 years, that NATO was getting closer and closer to Russia's border, and he feared that the plan was to break up Russia, divide it up into many countries, and then be able to rule it. A month or two ago, remember I read on this program an op-ed written by the former foreign minister, maybe of Latvia, and she said, Russia doesn't have any natural resources. They belong to the indigenous people
That's
in
right.
each of their regions.
That.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Doc, she's a high-level, member of the global elite in Europe.
And
she was telling us the plan. We're going to break up Russia, and then we're going to steal all their gold and palladium and all the stuff that Russia has because it doesn't belong to them.
And they're actually going to steal it twice because,
yes.
Well, they'll deal is they'll steal it and give it to the regional leaders, yes. And then turn around and steal it again.
Take it from them also. It's not hard to figure these people out. Now, we've been telling you what the West is doing to Russia. Let's show you a glimpse of what the West is today. This is on the front page of the Times of London. This is disgusting, revolting. Anger at European Parliament display of gay apostles. They show Jesus surrounded by homosexual men. Front page of the Times of London, owned by Rupert Murdoch, a man that has some kind of phobia about the Bible. But this is a painting, the one on the left, this is a painting that's displayed right now inside the European Parliament.
Right. It's not in some private gallery, not in some back alley somewhere, not even in somebody's private collection. This is on display at the European Parliament as we speak.
Okay, so it's as blasphemous as you can get, revolting, disgusting, offensive. But the response of the European leaders is, this is art.
They wanted that response. If you read the article mm-hmm. all the way through,
I did.
They wanted that response because it was meant to draw out people in
yes.
their response to identify, well, who would be offended by this?
Yes.
That's who we need to
yes.
target.
Only these right-wing, violent Christians
would be offended by that.
Would be offended. Now, go ahead. No,
well, now, the Times of London is reporting that this exhibit at the European Parliament in Brussels depicting Jesus surrounded by gay men in leather outfits has caused anger among right-wing politicians from Italy and Poland who have branded it as blasphemous. It says it represents Jesus surrounded by apostles dressed as sadomasochistic slaves. That's coming from Maria Veronica Rossi, a member of the European Parliament from Italy's far-right Lega Party. The left group, which is comprised of communists and far-left politicians from across Europe, displayed the work as part of an exhibition of controversial images by Elisabeth Olsson, a Swedish artist. The far-left MEP hosting the exhibition said the reaction showed exactly why such paintings should be on display. This confirms right-wing nationalists and conservative views when it comes to Christianity. Notice they targeted Christianity in particular and LGBTI people. That's coming from Malene Bjork, a member of European Parliament for the Swedish Left Party. And she said, we will stand up for our Italian LGBTI siblings. Show you the full picture here. You need to see this, and it should get you upset. But they're doing this to get you upset. Yes.
They want to draw people out.
It's the same thing with the drag queen story hours.
Yes. Doc, we do this on other issues. So if an artist displayed a painting like that in the European Parliament, let's see. Maybe a German concentration camp with clowns. Clowns. Like kind of a carnival atmosphere in World War II. What would the ADL do?
Oh, they'd be pulling their hair out.
Making fun of the Holocaust? How long would that painting remain on the walls of the Parliament? Minutes? Certainly not hours. Minutes. What if there was a painting of the Prophet Muhammad and it showed him surrounded by homosexual men? How long would the Muslims remain quiet?
Oh my goodness. They would be upset, and rightfully so.
What would they do?
There'd be riots.
The Muslims.
They'd be going into the European Parliament and taking it down.
The Jews would respond. If there was a mocking of the Holocaust, the Jews would respond with political and financial muscle. They have the clout. The Muslims would respond with violence, clubs. They wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't allow it. They would say, you are mocking Muhammad. We are not going to allow it. We'll burn down the parliament. What are the Christians doing?
We tolerate it because we're supposed to be tolerant. Mm-hmm.
And they want you, they actually said, we're expecting a reaction from these right-wing conservative Christians.
And named Christianity in particular.
Yes.
Because there's a war on Christianity.
Yes.
And right now, we're losing that war.
So there ought to be a extreme global outcry from every Christian leader in the world. Take it down. Take it down. But you know what? God may use the Russian nukes to take it down.
That's right. There might not be a Brussels.
The parliament may not be there next week. Think about it, folks. The West, NATO, the European Parliament, they're mocking Jesus Christ. They're openly mocking him this very week. Don't be surprised if their parliament building is evaporated with a nuclear blast. This cannot continue. It won't continue, Doc. God will not be mocked.
God is no respecter of persons. So he will not put up with this.
So that is the state of Europe. And then here in the United States, here's the Daily Caller. U.S. Navy used drag queen influencer to attract a wide range of new troops as recruitment plummets. So, Doc, as recruitment goes down, drops in number, the Navy said, you know what? You know what will convince young men to join the Navy? We need drag queens.
And who's that being marketed to? Who are they trying to recruit?
Drag queens, transvestites, and homosexuals to fill up the ranks of the U.S. military.
And this is on the heels of Milley and Austin Green and everybody saying, you know, we don't do any of this stuff. None of this goes on, and yet it is going on. The Navy brought on an active duty drag queen to participate in a pilot program aimed at reaching a wider audience through popular social media platforms as the military faces severe recruiting woes, a Navy spokesperson told the Daily Caller News Foundation.
Do you think the recruiting woes could be linked to the vaccine mandate?
Well, of course it was. And so Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly, stage name Harpy Daniels, announced the Navy invited him to become, now listen, he says the Navy invited him to become the first Navy digital ambassador in a November 2022 social media post, highlighting his journey from performing on deck in 2018 to becoming a leader and advocate of people who were oppressed for years in the service. The Digital Ambassador Initiative, in which Kelly participated, ran from October 2022 to March 2023 and was designed to explore the digital environment to reach a wide range of potential candidates, the Navy spokesperson said. Kelly said he faced harassment from outside the military after he was scheduled to perform at a diversity, equity, and inclusion event at Langley Joint Air Force Base in the summer of 2022 that caused an uproar to many conservatives and Christian extremists. So,
who's the extremist? Look, tell me, who is the extremist? There's a man dressed like Dolly Parton. Who's the extremist?
We are. We're the extremists.
No, we're not.
I know. But
I know. But in this upside down world, a man in a dress and a wig is calling Christians extremists. No, he's the extremist. They are deliberately gaslighting decent people in this country to make you believe that everything you believe has been taken from you.
Right.
We don't have to do it. Did you see what's happened to Budweiser Light sales? They're down 26% right now. 26%. One-fourth. They've lost one-fourth of their market.
And there are actually some distributors in the South right now, Rick, that are facing financial ruin over this
Bud
debacle.
Queer Beer. That's what you should call it. Budweiser Queer Beer. Just call it Queer Beer. That brand will never recover. Bud Light will go out of existence because it's now considered Queer Beer. And they will pay, and they are paying a price for it. But what the left is doing, it's the global elite, the ruling elite of America and Europe. These are deliberate strategies to gaslight decent people, to make you think your world has collapsed. Everybody has thrown away Christianity and morality and patriotism. Everybody's done. You're the only people, just you and your friends, Doc. You're the only people clinging to this stuff. Look around you. The Navy's got drag queens. Hey, what's wrong with you, Doc? Give it up, Doc. See, that's what it's all psychological warfare. It's psyops being used against the American people. Don't let them make you mad. Don't let them make you depressed. And just laugh at them.
Laugh at them.
Laugh at them, but also resist. And submit to God and resist the Antichrist. Obey the Christ, resist the Antichrist. This is our mission. This is what we're doing these days here at this ministry. One thing else with this I want to show you. This is from Military Times. Sailor by day, performer by night, meet the Navy's drag queen, Harpy Daniels. Look at the date.
August 2018.
Who was President of the United States in 2018?
Donald J. Trump.
Who was Commander in Chief?
Donald J. Trump.
Donald J. Trump allowed this to go on because he's the most pro-homosexual president in the history of the country.
And he is.
And he brags about it.
He cannot escape that.
He brags about it. He wants the transvestites to love him. He's very, very pro-homosexual. homosexual agenda. How can Christians support Donald Trump? How can you do it?
You have to just close your eyes.
And pretend like we did in 2016. Like we did then. We just have to pretend. What did we get? We put Trump in the White House. What did we get? We got a pro-homosexual administration.
A pro-vaccine administration.
Yes. And the Trump administration carried on the Obama foreign policy of requiring nations to change their laws to accept homosexuality and abortion. That was the Trump policy. Nothing changed. So if you put Trump back in again, guess what he's going to do?
Same thing.
The exact same thing. And then you're going to say, I wonder what happened to America. I wonder why we can't make America great.
And remember the excuses that the evangelical leaders were given? Well, he's a baby Christian. You know, he's learning these things. Right. He's growing in the
faith.
Well,
when does he grow up? Look, I don't want to get into politics because I've lost all hope in politics. If I vote for anybody, it'll be Robert F. Kennedy. I'm not even going to go down that road anymore with Trump and DeSantis and all things. I'm not expecting any politician to do anything to pull us out of this. Only God can do it, and God will only do it if the people repent and call on His name.
And what people, Rick?
His people.
That's right.
His people.
A lot of people skip over that part.
Not the pagans.
7:14.
The pagans
are people.
Yes, not the pagans. His people. They need to repent. They need to turn from their wicked ways. When there's true repentance in the church, God's Spirit will move in the nation, and all this other stuff will be pushed aside. There'll be revival. But it starts in the church. And folks, we're running out of time. We are with this program right now. But the country's running out of time. There may be a serious calamity in the very near future within days. I hope not. I pray it doesn't happen. I just can't see the Russians tolerating this stuff much longer. I read their comments every day, and they're becoming more angry at us.
Right.
And they want revenge. They want revenge now. The Russians have I've never seen the Russians talking about revenge like I am seeing now. And we just gave them a reason today for revenge. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you standing with us. We will be here as long as God keeps us going. And I know you will be too. We're all in this together. And our hope is this, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. That's our hope. Our hope is not the rapture. It's not an event. It's not the state of Israel. It's not heaven. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's not streets of gold. It's Jesus. I don't care what kind of streets I walk on. I just want to walk with Him. I don't care about the state of Israel other than I want to see them get saved. I want to be with Jesus. He is our only hope. Fall in love with Him. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. And watch what happens to your life. See you tomorrow. God bless.